Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we go over all the Transformers news out of WonderCon. Jeremy reviews Transformers vs. Visionaries Issue 3, and IDW is releasing a Bumblebee movie prequel comic book. Today is Friday, March 30th, 2018, and this is episode 70 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's going to end in a world-devouring chomp. I am your host, Daryl, and I am joined by the excellent Transmissions team member, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hi, how you doing? Let's talk Transformers.
You bastard. And we are also joined by our guest, Mr. Jason Kirk.
Haha, Jeremy's a member. Ha ha ha.
He's a team member.
I'll show you a member. Wait, no.
You wish you were a member.
Yep, member's only jacket.
All right. So we're going to start the show off with our donations as usual. And we got to thank Mr. Dog Cades this week for increasing his pledge. Like I mentioned in the regular Transmissions show, Dog Cades doubled his fucking pledge, guys. Like, that's dedication. That's no small feat.
Someone wants to win a Megatron.
He just likes the show. He came up and he's like, these guys are really pulling out all the stops. Have twice the amount that I'm giving.
Are you sure
you
he
right
didn't
now.
Leave his phone unattended around you?
He might have.
Wait, does he have a cat? Was it his cat? Cats do that.
No, that's Zach. Does. He does have a cat.
Oh, there you go.
Also, we want to make sure that you all know that Declassified Episode 7 is being recorded this week. And it's me and Jeremy and some other fine folks that also are going to be on the show. They are people who sell at Transformers conventions and other conventions around the area. And the show is going to be about the secondary market of collecting and Transformers and stuff like that. So it'll be an interesting discussion for our Donatrions.
And it'll be out either before or after the show.
Yes, it will be out in March.
This comes out the 30th, so we have very little wiggle room here.
It's barely out. Yeah. All right. So let's hop into comics news.
All right. The first thing we have in comic news is Takara has updated their Legends webcomic. Number 50 is online. I don't believe this has been translated yet, so it's a lot of Japanese I can't understand, but it's got the jump starters. So I imagine once we get the translations, it'll be funny as always. I do see we have RC and looks like Springer, and people are not happy. They seem to be yelling. Whirl is in there in one scene, Jetfire. So
yeah, I can't wait to hear Mikey tell me everything that happens once it's finally translated.
Yeah, if you really want to know the translation, listen to Moonbase too. They'll go over everything. The next thing we have is more information on the Bumblebee movie prequel comic. This is going to be the return of John Barber and Andrew Griffith to the movie comics. That's where at least John Barber got his start working on the original movie line comics. And it seems like they're going to be wrapping up at least the current slate of movies by doing a prequel. It looks like there's a cover by Andrew Griffith and a cover by Fico Osseo. And in the main book, Andrew's doing the interiors. And it'll be out June 20th. So it looks like, from the synopsis, it's going to be a set in the Cold War time. Bumblebee is in the middle. Like, he's got a human partner, and they're trying to disrupt or they're trying to find a traitor and James Bond type Cold War shenanigans. I would like to know, I would like to believe that John Barber is going to get some Action Man references in there, hopefully. So
that sounds pretty fun. I'm looking forward to reading that. Oh, that's pretty good comics news for this week. Let's move on to our comic review.
We got a few more things.
What? Oh, I see. Solicitations. Okay, we got solicitations for June.
You know, I think you're skipping something. I can't.
I don't understand. There's nothing else happened this week.
Okay, well, solicitations.
God damn it, guys. Unicron's coming.
Oh, yeah. There's that. So WonderCon was this last weekend, and IDW had some panels, as they do at conventions that are on the West Coast close to their offices. And they've pretty much confirmed that their current G1 continuity is going to end. From the what they're going to do is have this Unicron thing. It's going to start with a free comic book day, issue zero, and then in, I believe, June, it kicks off, and it's a 6-issue miniseries. According to James Roberts on Twitter, they are going to be double shipping Lost Light and Optimus Prime. So, and through the summer. So Lost Light 25, Optimus Prime 25, and Unicron 6 all hit in the same month. And both James Roberts and John Barber have thanked people on Twitter for their thoughts and stuff about everything ending. I'm sure we'll hear more from them as more details come to light. But what do you guys think about all this?
This is pretty big. This is also something that is going to be very polarizing in the fandom. There have been a lot of fans that have come to Transformers because of the comics, particularly More Than Meets the Eye and Lost Light. And for those particular fans, this is going to be rough for them to have this this comic line end. But for others, people that have not appreciated the comics where they are right now, this will be a new beginning. Mm-hmm. Will give them an opportunity to start over. And it is
kind of hard because someone asks where to start and you point them to a 2012 comic.
Exactly. That's a lot of books. And I mean, and we've been getting questions during the time that we've been doing this podcast. We've gotten a lot of questions from people via Twitter and other means. And they say, I really like the comics. Your reviews are really, you know, good, but I want to start reading them. Where do I start? And there's only one spot that we can point them to if we want to get everyone caught up on the current continuity, and that's Death of Optimus Prime. Mm-hmm. Right. With Last Stand of the Wreckers as maybe a slight, you know, miniseries to throw in there as well. But, you know, that's a lot of books to read. You know, that's a monstrous amount of ground.
It's at least five books.
And they do
at least five books.
At least five, bare minimum. Right. So, you know, to ask somebody to say, okay, you know, if you want to get caught up, you got to read over 100 books. That's, you know, 100 and I guess if you're reading both series now, you're over.
But then you have
over 130
Windblade
books.
To All or One.
Exactly. And all the other stuff too, right? But now they do say that, you know, you could start at the end of Dark Cybertron, or you could start at the end of, Revolutions or something like that. These are all soft starting points. Specifically for More Than Meets the Eye or Lost Light, that doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean,
there's too many references back.
Well, the recent arc with the Magnificence, that goes back to the Asian series before Optimus Prime.
It does. You know, and that's something that, you know, it's just tough to say, you know, if you wanted to read this, you could start at these soft points, and it's tough for somebody. So I get it. And I'm on the side of the current books, especially Lost Light and Optimus Prime, have not been my favorite part of the current runs. So, you know, I'm ready for a bit of a change, but I'm also in agreement with a lot of people that say More Than Meets the Eye and the books and where they are right now is some of the best Transformers writing we have ever gotten.
For sure.
It possibly, I mean, probably hands down is the best writing. Some of those early More Than Meets the Eye books, they are phenomenal. So, you know, going back and saying, you know, we've got to start this over, you're taking away all of that, but it's difficult, but I do get I get it from both sides. You know, it's not for everyone. I myself am not a fan of the story first, you know, battle second kind of thing. I want there to be fighting.
You don't say, right?
I make the point almost every time. So it's, you know, the books have become more of a bore to me rather than anything else, but they're still written very well. And it's been how many years? 12 years. This is a long time. This is far longer than any other Transformers book has ever been written
or series,
you know.
I mean, this is the longest continuous piece of Transformers fiction that we've got ever.
Yeah. Down to anything. Even the Bay movieverse was 11 years.
Well, and just think, this has been through the whole New 52 era of DC Comics and countless Marvel reboots. We have had this one solid piece of continuity with only minor soft reboots, like what, two or three of them.
It's been one of those constants that's been good, and unfortunately the sales have been, they've been getting worse and worse over the years. You can look at Comicron and it'll show you the physical numbers. Now we'll never ever get the digital numbers, and that's fine, but you can hazard a guess as to how they're doing via the physical numbers. But it's time, and I can totally accept that it is time to change things up. And I'm excited to see how it's going to end. You know, with even at the beginning of More Than Meets the Eye, James Roberts had said, I know how I want to end this series. So
it does seem like they're going to get the time with the double shipping of the books to end it the way they want.
And it's interesting to see with some of the solicitations that we're going to talk about in a second that, you know, one of the things that gets in the way of doing, you know, double ships is art gets a little wonky because you got artists that are working double shifts here. Well, it doesn't work out that way because it's just too much work. So things get delayed and things get behind. And that's another thing is all this is nice planning. They've got this giant grand plan to roll this all out, but they're still at the hands of Diamond to get their books into the stores at the right time, you know. And that's a big if. I would like to see it that everything ends exactly how they wanted it to end. Lost Light 25, Optimus 25, and Unicron number 6 all hit when they're supposed to hit, because I would hate for Unicron 6, if let's say, we don't know if Unicron 6 is supposed to be the final book in everything hits, but then Lost Light 25 and Optimus Prime 24 are still slated to come out because it's, you know, that throws everything off. It fucks everything up.
Yeah.
So,
and we've seen that with even DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean Marvel's really well known for doing that, but DC with the Dark Knight Metal stuff, you're having stuff coming out now, spinning out of Dark Knight's Metal, and the last issue doesn't come out until this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and IDW books are notorious for it. It's
right. Because they're well below DC and Marvel in the pecking order with Diamond.
Exactly. So I would hope that you know, maybe they've worked something out with Diamond to say, look, we're ending something here. It's a big to do, and we just need this shit to get done. So, I'd like it to see it end properly so that, you know, people read the stories in the order that they're supposed to be done. Because when it first started, reading those first couple books in the order that they came out with was key to getting the story, because they all took place on Cybertron until all those ships fucking left and you know, and went off on their own. But those first few books, when they were all still on Cybertron doing their own thing, it was key for you to read it in order. So, yeah, I'm excited to see where it's going. Now we haven't mentioned any of the art that was released or anything like that, but Jeremy, do you want to talk about any of that? Go ahead.
Well, let's let Jason give his two cents on the.
Fuck Jason, go.
Hell no, motherfucker. We're going all night with this. Yeah, I mean, first of all, everyone, just ready yourself now, because if these books actually come out double shipped in the way they think they are, I will be fucking amazed. Because like Jeremy said, the Diamond doesn't care about IDW if their books come out on time or not. So, you know, we've always speculated it's more of a Diamond than an IDW issue. But just remember how far behind Lost Light ended up being. I wouldn't be surprised if they just skipped an issue somewhere in there or something, or just because they got so far behind at one point.
Well, I mean, there was that 1 week where we got four books in 1 week.
Yeah, that was another one, too. And also, like, I really do think that Roberts is going to get to finish the story, because there's been times recently, either in hearing you guys talk about an issue or reading a preview copy, that it's really appeared that things seemed a little rushed. Like the whole two page thing in the one issue where Nickel got on with the team with the scavengers just seemed a little it's almost like they had to rush those pages in real quick so she could get on the team, like the plan, which we got, you know, two pages of great Andrew Griffith art, which was nice, but it felt really weird in that book. And I remember reading that and going, this feels like it was forced in. And if it wasn't for the fact that you guys talk about the book and I listen to the show, I don't even think I'd know what's going on. I'm okay with this, because I'm of the opinion that, me personally, like I'm done with these stories. I was so excited even for The Falling that we're getting right now, Optimus Prime, and I didn't pick up the first issue. I've just been listening to you guys, and it's pretty much how I consume these comics right now, just listening to you guys talk about them and like Moonbase 2 and stuff like that. It's time, because like we've said, the readership way down. And Daryl, you're saying, you know, we don't know what the digital sales are, and you're right. But I will say, I remember back, you know, Hacian days of More Than Meets the Eye, friend of the show, Marion, you know, we'd get on Twitter on Wednesdays or Thursdays and be like, hey, More Than Meets the Eye is number 5 on the U.S. comicsology chart. Where's it at in England or over in the U.K.? And she'd be like, oh, it's number 3 or something, because it was almost always higher over there. It was like, awesome. And then Lost Light came out and I was like, hey, is it on the top 10? She's like, no, it's not. So that dropped pretty quick. And I remember when Till All or One was canceled, I was like, well, let's just see how much better Lost Light sales. And I looked at the numbers. I was like, okay, if Till All or One got canceled because the sales were below break even, Lost Light pretty much has to be at break even, because they were really close as far as sales numbers. Optimus Prime was a little higher up. So,
yeah. Well, now if we've learned anything from the comics industry in general, nothing sparks sales in the short term than, you know, better than a reboot.
Right. And a reboot, not a, hey, let's bring in the rest of the universe. Because I really have to think the Hasbroverse didn't help things. And, you know, you had people loyal to, you know, I loved Alex Milne on the art of More Than Meets the Eye. I was really pissed off at the fact that he found out pretty much on Twitter that he wasn't doing More Than Meets the Eye anymore. That was garbage. Mm-hmm. And I hated that. So I've always, you know, that's just the way things have been handled. It's not great. I hope we get to keep some stuff. Like, I think Conduct's Endure is great. You know, one of my favorite moments of reading More Than Meets the Eye was dealing with when Chrome Dome lost Rewind. That was a really, really hit me, that issue. Everything, all the craziness with Overlord, and then Rewind's gone. And that was something I'll never forget. And then it just started getting convoluted. Like when Cyclonus should have died when he was protecting Tailgate. And I remember at the time, I believe Daryl actually said that it was bullshit that he didn't die. And I wrote in the show and kind of defended it, like, nah, it wasn't that bad. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, God damn it, this is just not good. So I'm over. I want to be able to start fresh. I want to be able to get, because I can't get anyone to start read this book. I couldn't, even when it was More Than Meets the Eye. I try to be like, hey, just pick, you know, this is a good issue, jump on. And no one would want to, because like we've said, it's got years and years of back stuff backstory. And, you know, I know Charles was so excited when they started talking about the Magnificence and stuff. And I'm like, I don't care. This is stuff way before I even got on. I don't care about any of this. And I'm sure it's going to come to some grand conclusion, but I hope they keep the best parts. You know, I think Condux Endura, like I said, is something that we should really stay in Transformers.
Yeah. A lot of the concepts that they introduced, I think, deserve to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that and things like the concept of a phase sixer and I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we definitely will see some of the characters like Windblade has proven herself to be a good character mm-hmm. that I think it has lasted, you know, it's gone into the animated series and stuff. So I think some of the better parts are definitely going to bleed into what is Transformers now.
Right. Yeah. So it's, you know, Transformers isn't our thing. Transformers belongs to Hasbro. They're going to do what they're going to do with it. We kind of have to accept that, but you know, I'm fine with this. Let's let it happen. Let's go out with a huge fucking bang. Let's let Unicron come in and just make us go, you know, end every issue and just make us go, holy shit, can't wait to get the next one, and then restart it and see where we go from there. So I'll be in the minority. I'm okay with it. Let's do this and let's start again and hope that let's try to get up to the same point we were a couple years ago. Let's see if we can rebuild to that. I think that's a really good goal.
All right, cool. Well, let's talk about Unicron because we've got the first look of Alex Milne's Unicron, and I've got to say, holy crap, that thing looks amazing.
So cool. So cool.
And, you know, I just love how big they're presenting him. He's literally got the Earth in his hand.
He's got the whole world in his hand, Jeremy.
I was trying not to go there. But
well, fuck
what? What they described, we'll have a link to a Periscope of the Transformers part of the IDW Transformers panel from WonderCon. But what they described as Unicron is when he consumes a planet, it adds to him. So he gets bigger and bigger with each planet he consumes. And I think they said he's like as big as like 7 or 8 planets at this point. And I mean, you can kind of see that from the picture, and that's a neat aspect of it. They didn't go into much more about like his personality or, you know, the mythos of Unicron in their universe, but they did say it's going to be different from what we've seen in past incarnations.
I think this looks really good as well. Looking at the full size image of Unicron there, you can see mm-hmm. mountain ranges on him. You can see forests, I'm assuming are forests. I love the detail in this. This is a really great redesign of Unicron. You know, you can see aspects of what would have been, you know, the G1 aspect of Unicron, like the red, you mm-hmm. know, six pack going on there. And I like some the aspects that were kept. Obviously the like, I don't know what you call it, but the whatever color it is, the orangey gold color of the metal for his body, you know, that's the Unicron, you know, color, right? So I like it. It looks good. The head's pretty different. He might still have the Fu Manchu thing going on, but, you know, it might just be the way that it's drawn right there. I can't really tell, but I like it a lot. He's got the crazy wings going on, which aren't, they're like connected.
Yeah,
like,
I was about to
gravity or something, you know, I
mean, it seems like he's big enough. He has his own gravity.
I would assume so. He is a giant planet eating monster, so I would assume he's got his own gravity. I'm interested in the scale of this. You know, when this event starts, how will Alex depict other characters fighting him?
Pretty much, right?
It's, you know, if he, you know, what would a Titan, you know, look like fighting Unicron.
Oh, God, you wouldn't even see a
Titan. How big is a Titan on Unicron? Because he's, you know, he's holding the Earth in his hand, right? So would a Titan, it's, honestly, he's literally so big that what can stop him? The Matrix can stop him.
You mean the Matrix is just an empty shell at the moment?
Right. I'm interested to see how this plays out because the scale in which he is being depicted is just awesome.
Yeah, they got the right man for the art on this. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so this, I mean, they're definitely going out with a bang. They did announce that the Unicron series is going to have a number of familiar names on the covers, on the variant covers. We've got Andrew Griffith and Nick Roach, which you would expect, but also Bill Sienkiewicz, who is going to be reinterpreting his classic cover to the Marvel Transformers number one.
I believe it's Sienkiewicz.
Sienkiewicz? Okay. Yeah. And also a new cover by Francisco Francavilla.
Francavilla.
Okay, Francavilla. I'm glad we have you on.
He did the art for the Afterlife with Archie a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, he's great. It'll be an awesome cover, trust me.
One of the things I wanted to talk as we wrap this part up is just speculation on what comes after. I mean, for the most part, I think we've always assumed that this would be a reboot and they're going to start over. I have seen on various message boards, so, I mean, grain of salt, that IDW might be losing the licenses. I don't know how much stock I put into something like that. But just speculate, what do you think would happen if like DC or Marvel ended up with the license again for the Hasbro stuff?
Well, if DC got it, Mark Russell would write it, and it would be a scathing satire on life in 2018.
No.
Megatron would be Trump, basically.
DC has just announced a number of different imprints, and that's true. I could see them doing a Hasbroverse imprint.
Personally, though, I want to go to Marvel because I want to see the total shitstorm that would erupt when they start off with, and they'll start at issue 85 of a 4-issue miniseries, and everyone screams in unison. What about
81?
Oh, did they get up to issue 80? Is that what it was?
Yeah, 80 okay. was the last.
So they try issue 81, and everyone would go, "What about that? You know, continuation that came out a few years ago in IDW.
Regeneration
one." Everyone would be like, "What about that?" And Marvel would be like, "Fuck you, this is our book now."
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of interesting to see if they would kind of bring it back. I don't know, I guess they wouldn't have it in the Marvel universe because they have Star Wars and they're keeping that separate. Daryl, what do you think?
I mean, if they lose the license, which I can't see happening. It's been such a good run so far. But if they did, I'm a Marvel guy. I'd like to see it go to Marvel because it would allow them to bring back Circuit Breaker. And I guess they have Death's Head is part of Marvel, right? So.
Oh, yes, they do. Wow. There you go. That's a good point. Nice.
So they could put Death's Head in the book again. You know, it would bring them all back into the universe with Marvel. With, you could have a Spider-Man crossover again, I guess, but it'd be nice to just have that retro look back. Plus it allows them to have the Marvel stable of artists and writers and stuff like that, which is fine. You know, I can't imagine anybody else doing it right now that isn't already on it. So, you know, you get used to the quality that you're getting now, and it's pretty damn good.
I mean, but we did see at that Emerald City panel that Yoshi was at, a number of people on that panel said they would love to do Transformers. I mean, I know they're all with IDW right now, but I mean, I imagine across the comic spectrum, there's probably a number of writers that you would love to do Transformers.
Oh yeah.
Sure. Yeah. As far as what comes next, let's assume that IDW is keeping it.
Or for Cybertron.
I would assume That's honestly, yeah, that's where I was going to go. That's the toy line, right? That's where the toys are going. So they go pre-war and do a storyline going up into the war. You know, how the war kind of started, and they basically kind of echo the toy line for the first little bit, because that'll be kind of concurrent to what you can find on the shelves. So the kids can go and buy the toy and be like, oh, look, mom, there's a toy of there's a comic book with the figure that I just got. Can I get that? Yeah, sure, Johnny, go and get that. And, you know, and it just goes, it goes hand in hand. So, you know,
maybe they'll bring back pack ins or maybe even digital codes or something.
Yeah, something like that. And it would be, I can see that being a very easy way to restart the franchise. Yeah.
I really think that the Hasbro shared universe thing both killed it, it basically killed a lot of the momentum that Transformers had, but it also probably extended the life, because I think they would reach the point they're at now maybe a year or so ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I think it kind of expanded it, but everything was so rushed and so kind of shoved in to make things fit. I wonder if they do start everything over, they're going to start the entire Hasbro shared universe again, but from the ground up, you know, so everything will make sense.
I don't know. Hopefully, I don't think that's successful enough. They do that, but it's possible.
I hope not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree with both of you guys. I think starting pre-war with matching the toy line makes the most sense.
I mean, it even matches up with how shortened Power of the Primes is and stuff. It's almost like they're like major reset. You know, there's not yeah, and past Bumblebee, there's no movies on the horizon either. So it really sounds like regroup, retreat and regroup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the solicitations. And we've been talking about this for a while. So we have the June 2018 solicits. And as always, we won't go into the actual details, which might be spoilery, but we will have a link in the show notes. So if you want to read the spoilers, you can find it in the show notes. We have Optimus Prime number 20, cover A by Kazama, cover B by Casey Collar, Lost Light number 19, art by EJ Sue. You know, we haven't seen anything from EJ Sue for a long time. Cover A and B, both by Nick Roach. Lost Light number 20, art by Casey Collar, which it's a rare treat that we get get Casey on the interiors. Mm-hmm. And then cover A and B, both by Jack Lawrence. And then we have Transformers, the Wrecker Saga. This says actually solicited for early July. This is a single volume that collects Last Stand of the Wreckers, Sins of the Wreckers, and Requiem of the Wreckers.
Getting that.
It's hard to say Requiem of the Wreckers without saying Wreckers. we have Bumblebee movie prequel number one, which we talked about a little while ago. Cover A by Andrew Griffith, cover B by Fico Osseo. Transformers Optimus Prime Volume 3 trade paperback. And then Volumes 1 and 2 are also offered again. So those will be reprinted. So it looks like we're going to be getting a lot of, at least on the Lost Light side, you know, some good art that we haven't seen in a while. Like EJ Sue, I think, Daryl, you say he's like doing architecture drawings now.
I believe so. Yeah, I believe he's doing the architectural.
So, you know, these will be great. And I think this is where you see they are trying to get in line with the numbering. We only have one Optimus Prime this month. We got two Lost Lights, and then they're at the same number.
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good intentions here. You know, wait to see what, you know, Diamond actually does. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that I think is all the comic news. It's been a big week.
All right. Well, with that, then let's move on to the comic review.
All right. And this week, Daryl, we have Transformers versus Visionaries number 3.
You read that, right?
3, huh?
Yes,
I did check and I did read the right one.
Okay. Yeah, because I know, I mean, we got the review copy for 4 this week, but we are behind on this book,
which means 4 will be out next week.
Yeah, 4 will be out next week. So
by the time you've heard this, Yeah. 4 is already out.
Right. We have our own shipping issues here. We'll blame Diamond. Yeah. Transformers Visionaries number 3. This is written by Magdalene Visago, art by Fico Osseo, colors by David Garcia Cruz, letters by Sean Lee, edited by Sarah Gatos and David Mariette. Publisher is Greg Goldstein. We have 3 covers. Cover A has Wheeljack being attacked by some vines or tentacles or something. And this is done by Fico Osseo. Cover B, it looks like a scene from Sharknado 15 starring Ironhide. This is by Jeffrey Very. I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce this last name. Very.
Can't help you on this one. Sorry.
Yeah. Verregge.
Verg.
So, and the retailer incentive cover has Waspinator finding his zen with the Visionaries. And this is Brendan Cahill and Lauren Bennett on colors. So, Jason, which of the 3 do you prefer?
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to Fico's cover because I do like that. And I know last time I was on the show, we reviewed an issue of Optimus Prime where he was on interiors and I wasn't too keen on it. So great cover, Fico. However, boy, you throw 80s crazy pink sharks at me and give me a stylized Ironhide like that, I am all in on cover B and very greedy or whatever his name is. I'd put that on my freaking wall. So I'm all for that one right there.
All right, cool. Daryl, what about you?
First, Fico Osseo did an issue of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, there was an issue where him and Sarah and a bunch of people did it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I sure it wasn't like First Strike.
Nope, I didn't review any First Strike with you guys.
Okay. All right, I forget. I am picking Fico's cover because it looks really good. It's rendered very well. The tentacle monster thing is just destroying Wheeljack, and it's just drawn very well. Perhaps that's why it's done so well. He's the tentacle monster thing kind of covers up a lot of the Transformer, and generally that's the part of the picture that Fico has trouble with, but it's done very well, and it looks quite nice.
Yeah.
So my vote is Fico.
I think Wheeljack would disagree with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually pick the retailer incentive cover.
Fuck you.
I just think this was drawn very well. Waspinator is represented very well, I think. And I'm not sure exactly which visionary that is, but they were drawn very well. And it also is covering up the logo. So it's got that going for it.
How about all 3 of these covers? Not one of them depicts anything happening in the issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just comics. Also, Optimus Prime 11 that Fico Osseo did interiors on.
Okay, thanks. And my cover at least has Waspinator, who's in the book.
True.
So is Wheeljack.
Wheeljack is in the book, but...
Ironhide's in the book, so shut up.
So is Ironhide.
I guess.
He'll allow it.
All right. Let's get into the summary here. The title is Desperate Measures. Virilina has assembled the Spectral Knights that are left in the city after Leoric has gone to meet with the Cybertronians. He's asking the Knights to side with Prismos and thus her. Cryotech believes that Leoric abandoned them and swears allegiance to her after the Darkling Lord Mortred tries to convince him that Virilina will eventually get rid of them. Convinced that she'll eventually come after him as well, Mortred escapes the city and finds Leoric to let him know what's been happening. Leoric doesn't trust Mortred, nor does Ironhide. However, they do believe that there is a bit of truth in what the Darkling Lord is telling them. So they start working on a plan to retake the city. In his lab, Wheeljack installs a replacement arm on Breakdown. Then they discuss theories on what's happening to the old one. They theorize that maybe the magic is something like code running over the gamma waves that they have detected. Sending a reverse frequency wave over his arm, Wheeljack sees that it reverses the effects and the arm is returned to its previous state. It's only temporary, though, but Wheeljack thinks that he's finally got something that they can use. if they can blow up a counterwave bomb at the planet's core, it might protect them. It might protect the core from the talisman and render it inert. After filling in everyone on this discovery, Leoric reveals his part of the plan. Mortrid is going to go back to Prismos with Arzon and Witterquick to sneak in and assassinate Virulina. Mortrid's being included because his power lets him sneak nearly anywhere without being detected, so he's going to scout the throne room before they enter. As he's sneaking around in an insect form, Mortrid sees Waspinator pleading to Virulina for his life. She doesn't plan on killing him, though. Instead, she uses her magic to change him into her chariot. Returning from the room, Mortrid informs the others of what he saw, but leaving out the part about Waspinator. Sneaking in, the knights encounter a Darkling Lord, but it turns out to be Feral, one of their spectral knights that has apparently changed sides. This brings back some doubts that Arzon has, but they continue with the plan as he ascends to the top of the monastery. As he gets near his objective, Arzon encounters Cryotech, who is also turned. Cryotech bests him in battle, but then Virulina appears on her new chariot, the former Waspinator, or as he looks now, Thrustinator. And that is a quick review of the book. I thought the art was pretty good. Fico's getting better at drawing Transformers, particularly, I think, ones like Breakdown that started in Prime, so they have a little bit different look anyway. But I didn't see too much of an issue with a lot of the book, but most of the book was with the humanoids anyway. I thought the Thrustinator at the end, the mutated Waspinator, looked horrifying, which is kind of what the toy actually looks like. And it was an interesting inclusion. You know, you know with Waspinator, things are never going to turn out right. But to bring back this, which is a Transformers Collector Club toy, based off of a Beast Wars 2 Japanese figure, you know, that's a very deep cut. And, you know, it was very cool that they brought that in. The story was kind of an A to B to C, fairly simple progression to get to the end. But, you know, we're in the middle of the miniseries, so you kind of expect that. Daryl, what did you think of this?
First thing, I want to make sure I mention it because it caused me to pause right at the start while I was reading the book. So first page, right after the roll call, the first text box, read the last two lines of that.
There's an S missing there.
Yeah.
Robotic civilization, million of years old.
Oh.
Yeah. I was reading it and I was like, wait. That doesn't work. So
this was not a Tom B. Long but letter book.
True.
So I had to I actually physically paused reading and had to go back to it and say, wait a minute, did I read that wrong? And no, I didn't. Yeah. It is just an editing mistake.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the state of comics these days anyway.
Yeah. So I agree that the art looks a lot better. There's a panel on the very next page, actually, at the top, where they've got Feral and Cryotech in that little group shot, I guess, in the top right. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's Feral, the one with the red hair, all the hair there. The look on her face is like, you don't know me.
You know it.
And I just thought that was quite funny to see that. Fico's drawing of human characters is always good. So I have no complaints about that. Mm-hmm. What I was looking for in this was to see how his Transformer characters looked. And yeah, they looked better. But the same problem I had last time with a Fico book was the Autobot symbols are stamps.
Yeah.
And that drives me nuts. I'm looking at
especially when they're not even.
Right. Exactly. I'm looking at page on our thing. It's page 12, which is the part where Wheeljack and Breakdown are in the lab, and Wheeljack just finished putting Breakdown's new arm back on, and they're standing, and you can see Wheeljack's, they're standing next to each other, and you can see their full body shots. And Wheeljack's Autobot insignia is face forward to the camera, or to us, the audience, but Wheeljack standing to the side, and it's all wrong.
It is perfectly like
it's straight. It's, you know, it's perfectly straight
with the text and everything.
Yeah. So I'm like, that kind of stuff is just, it's just bad. You know, you got to fix that shit. You know, or just learn to draw a freaking Autobot symbol. You know, take lessons from Alex, who learned to draw them shorthand, right? Mm-hmm. You know, every single time a Transformers character is on the screen, their symbol is in a different spot, you know, slightly askew, basically. And
or bigger or smaller.
It's just a mess. So you got to fix that.
If they're hand-drawn, we don't care that they're perfect.
Exactly.
Because they're hand-drawn.
They're hand-drawn. And they're
a stamp, you expect it to be perfect every time.
Exactly. And they fit into the scene at that point because, you know, some lighting may reflect off of them differently, or, you know, they might be, there's some shadow bits getting into them, or you don't expect them to look perfect, but they're going to be scaled properly because they're drawn by the artist. This way they're fucked up, and I don't like them.
Just looking at the symbols for the visionaries, and those all look hand drawn.
They are. Yeah. It's bullshit. You can draw freaking, you know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but you can't draw an Autobot symbol. But it's just, yeah, I don't. Yeah. So that drew me out of it, and that kind of pissed me off. But that's something that's an old complaint. The story itself, it's fine. It's not, like you said, it's the middle of a miniseries, so it's not overly exciting. I was intrigued by the discovery of Wheeljack to get the be able to reverse the magic spell on Breakdown's arm, but it didn't quite hold. You know, he'll figure something out and it'll hold later. When Verlina, is that her name? Mm-hmm. When she did the when she started zapping Waspinator with her magic. About middle of the way through the book, I knew that she was turning him into fucking Thrustinator. I'm like, what else is Waspinator gonna happen? What else is gonna happen to Waspinator? You know, if you're not killing him, you're turning him into a Thrustinator. So, you know, it's drawn very well. This last page looks freaking awesome. So, you know, I like that it's done well. And the fact you mentioned it, that the fact that this character is a club exclusive has now been brought into the canon of the comic books, is pretty damn cool. So I got to give props where props are deserved. Mm. And this definitely deserves props. So yeah, that's my take on the book. Learn to draw some fucking Autobot symbols, Fico.
All right. Jason, how about you?
All right, well, I'll try to keep it short and sweet here because obviously this is the first any Transformers versus Visionaries I've even read. Obviously, didn't have much interest in the story. I did know about the Scuttlebutt from issue one with Cup and everything, and nothing about that made me want to read it, especially since editorial was basically like, yeah, we knew you guys were going to hate this, but we did it anyways because we're editorial. Sure. I mean, sure. Okay, Fico. Fico draws people. I love Fico's drawing of people. That's really, really cool, actually. I'd love to see him. I think he'd fit in well Marvel somewhere doing that kind of stuff. So that'd be nice to see that. I'm still not keen on him on robots, especially close-ups. Oh, God. Him and Ironheart especially. Not good. He does do okay with Breakdown, like you said, Jeremy. But even the close-up of him is, yeah, no thanks. The symbols, I didn't notice. I don't care. It's such a minor thing in a book that I didn't really feel like reading anyways, that I'm not going to get that worked up about it. It's annoying to see it, but I'm not going to lose my shit over it or anything like that. And I tried to, you know, I come on here and I read the issues and I try to do what I can with it. And till now I've had books that I've at least have familiar with the storylines and stuff like that. And with this one coming in, especially on a third issue, it's more probably it's the fact it's a third issue problem and I wasn't going to go back and read the first two. So It didn't really. I read like the first two pages, scanned the rest, and just waited for Jeremy's recap of it. So not much for me to say, because I didn't really go a deep dive in it, nor should I, because I'm not really familiar with the series. But I can see why people don't exactly love it. I hear the writing's great, but I would have had to read it to know that for sure. So I'm sure Magdalene's doing a good job with that.
I don't think our complaints have really ever been on the quality of the writing, more the editorial decisions that are forced on the writing.
Yeah, I mean, I believe she even said something to the extent of, I knew this was going to work well. I did the best I could. Sorry, Magdalene, that was not fair for you to have to deal with. So, yeah, Unicron's coming soon, guys. Can't wait to read that.
I know. So, what better time for a reboot? So. All right. Well, I guess that is Transformers versus Visionaries, number 3. So, let's move on to some media news.
All right, in media news this week, we've got Transformers Rescue Bots Academy to premiere this fall on Discovery Family. Let's hope that when it does premiere, it will not be at 6:30 in the morning, as RID did.
No, Discovery likes Rescue Bots. They're not going to do that.
Yeah. And 52 episodes for the first season. Uh-huh. Pretty good.
Well, they're 11 minutes each. Yeah. So that's about a full season of regular shows, right? So 26 episodes is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right on. And this is the one that's being produced by Boulder Media out in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So that's good. I'm glad. I'm happy for them. I'm going to check a couple episodes out. This is definitely not for me. That's fine. But I'm going to check it out and see how it is.
I'll be watching it with my son.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same.
Paramount Pictures presentation at CinemaCon 2018, summer and beyond. They'll talk about what they're going to do going forward with the live-action movie series of Transformers.
So we might get the first trailer at that point.
For maybe, Bumblebee. Yeah. Stephen DeKnight says, Bumblebee the movie is fantastic. Well, they needed to get one quote in there to put on the movie poster, right? So during an interview about his latest movie, Pacific Rim Uprising, scriptwriter Stephen DeKnight stated that the story for Bumblebee the movie, is quite fantastic. Is it quite fantastic or fantastic, Stephen? There's holes in your story all over the place here. You were a part of the Transformers writing room. I'm curious. This was a question asked of Stephen DeKnight. I'm curious, what's a Transformers writing room like? He replied, it was a blast.
That's all he says. It was a blast.
It was a blast.
I don't think he enjoyed it. No,
he elaborated on and said, it was a room full of incredibly talented, interesting, really wonderful people. I've got to say, my time spent in there was just more than anything. Was just so much fun. Everyone was so much fun and interesting. And we actually wrote, I think it was like, and I want to say 12 different movies. Every one of us took a different idea and developed it into like a full 30-page outline. So there were like 12 movies. He says like a lot. And also, in complete honesty, my absolute favorite movie of the bunch was the Bumblebee movie that they're making right now. And he goes on to say, the idea was fantastic. So, okay. All right. So this confirmation, I personally didn't know that the Bumblebee movie was something that came out of the writer's room, but makes sense.
It's the only thing that's going to come out of that writer's room.
Well, no, 18 different ideas from last night did.
Yeah. Last night came out of the writer's room as well.
Oh, 18 movies that were inside of it. Yes.
So
also, if you want to know where the Isabella Moner character came from in the last night, probably from Stephen DeKnight, because he wrote Pacific Rim Uprising, and that exact same character is in Pacific Rim Uprising. The movie start the exact same way. I was sitting there going, are we fucking serious right now? So,
oh, great. You've seen it already then.
Yeah, it's not. I don't recommend. Watch it at home. Don't go to theater.
I just watched the other one with my daughters.
Oh, the other one's great.
Last night. She's like, oh, I can't wait to see the other one. I'm like, hey, well,
actually,
we'll,
you know what? It's we'll more, rent it's more it. Geared towards kids than the other ones. She might actually like it more.
Oh. Okay, moving on. We have another great endorsement from someone who worked on Bumblebee the movie. I don't know what he's a wrestler, an actor, wrestler. No, this man named John Cena says Bumblebee the movie will reinvigorate the Transformers fans. We're invigorated enough. We need you to stop.
I'd say we're kind of blah on the movie side.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one's directed by the Kubo and Two Strings guy. It could That's be good. True. Right?
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm not keeping my hopes up.
Sure.
So he added more. He says, I think Travis Knight did a fantastic job of reintroducing the look, the feel, the storytelling of this franchise. I think people who enjoy what Transformers was will enjoy the movie. I think it will attract a new fan base. I know Haley did a fantastic job. I also know that it is very different. I think fans of the franchise are going to be excitingly reinvigorated with the new look.
See, the look, the feel, and the storytelling were our biggest problems with the movies.
There you go. All right. Well, let's hope so, Mr. Yeah. Wrestler Man.
If only we can go see it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it comes out the end of this year, December 13th, is it?
I'm sure, something like that.
I don't remember. Anyway, it's the end of the year. Got a whole freaking year to wait, almost 9 months or so. Anyway, that's it for media news. Back to you, Daryl. All right, Daryl, going on to convention news here. And Jeremy, what is in convention news this week?
We have a first convention appearance. I know you're a collector of first appearances, Daryl.
I am.
So here you go. TFCon Chicago 2018 is going to have Stephen Keener. He was the voice of Fort Max and Scorponok in G1, and this is his first ever convention appearance.
Oh, he's more than just those two voices, too. I looked it up. Let's see here. I got to find it again.
But he was Hardhead, Hunger, Mindwipe, Scattershot.
Mindwipe's the only voice I really remember out of that, so I'm getting a sense of what he sounded like from remembering Mindwipe.
He's a season 3 voice actor.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to meeting him because I have a boxed Scattershot, so I'm like, yay! I could get an actor to sign one of my figures.
Well done.
But I'm wondering if I would like take a piece of Scorponok over to him just to get it signed. You know, who brings a full size Scorponok unless it's
like,
in the box?
You like assembling your figures. So just, take a piece and then build the toy around it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he comes apart so easily, right? I'm looking forward to meeting this guy and saying hello. I'm surprised. Like you look at his IMDb profile and you're like, okay, well, this guy did work for the season 3 of Transformers. What else did he do? Nothing. This was it. He has done nothing else.
One and done.
I'm sure he's had other jobs because obviously he's still alive and has paid for food and housing and such. But
logic is undeniable, Daryl.
The TF Wiki page actually says it best. He seems to have dropped off the face of the earth after 1987.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad that the guys at TFCon found him because I'm really interested in meeting him. What has he been up to? That's a question I'd like to ask him. But anyway, he'll be there, and that's pretty awesome. So if you've got yourself a Scattershot, a Hardhead, a Mindwipe, a Scorponok, or a Fortress Maximus, or even a Hunger, he did the voices for all of those guys, and Hunger is now out again, right? So you can get yourself a brand new Hunger and bring it for him to sign. Even all these new the Hardhead and Mindwipe, those are all reissued now too, right?
Yeah.
So get those out and get some stuff signed because I'm sure he'd love to reminisce about all the old voices he did.
Jason, are you gonna make it out to TFCon? in October?
It wouldn't be Chicago. If anything, I might consider trying to do Toronto, but at the same time, all the effort I have to get into getting like a passport and stuff together is kind of, I don't know. Probably no TF cons for me this year.
You suck.
I know. Well, and I had a blast at DC last year, man. Let me tell you, I would love to
Chicago
go back.
Chicago is it.
Okay. Were you buying my ticket?
No.
Mr. Disney man, huh? You buying my ticket?
No.
All right. Then guess what? Shut up.
Just drive to Pittsburgh and ride with Charles.
He really? Oh, he's driving, huh?
He always drives.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you get permission from my girlfriend. I'll head out with Charles. Also, maybe get permission from Charles for me, too.
All right. We have one more thing in convention news. Alex Milne is going to be attending the Windsor Comic Con September 29th and 30th at the Caesars Windsor. I'm assuming that is up in Canada somewhere, Daryl.
Certainly is. It's right across the border from Detroit.
So it's barely in Canada.
Yes. And it's at the casino. So let's keep Alex away from the slot machines.
Put everything on red, Alex. Everything on red.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'm sure that'll be a good time and, you know, close enough. People in the States, people in Canada can go. So that sounds great. Yeah. That is all we got for convention news.
Right on. All right. Well, then let's move on to feedback. And in feedback this week, we have a Facebook comment from Derek. He is one of our Donatrions, and he has had an interesting question for us. And I believe it was Charles that answered him on Facebook, but we'll read his.
No, it was me.
Oh, it was you. So is this Charles's response or is this your response?
Yes. Yeah, that's Charles's response because he wasn't going to be able to make it.
Okay. Well, then you can give your response because his were very similar here.
All right. Well, let me pull mine up while you read this.
All right. So Derek asked us, hey guys, I don't know how often you guys visit other Transformer groups, but there has been a lot of chatter about female Transformer groups and if they exist. The latest chatter has been about that there is no female Transformers podcast. Would you guys mind having a female co-host? It's known that the Transformers universe is male dominated, but it would be really cool to see more female presence in the universe as well. Just a thought and maybe a topic to discuss. Okay. So Jeremy, do you want to go first and then we'll read Charles's?
Yeah. And Charles did hit a lot of the same points that I have. So I told him I've seen a lot of those threads too, where people were, they were talking about a lack of female Transformer podcasters and stuff, or at least that there hasn't been an all female show. However, I mean, we've had a number of female hosts on our shows, like Amy, Lady Rec, Nicole, Beatles Diva, who they were both on the Underbase and various shows. I know Nicole has been on Moonbase 2 a number of times. You know, they're great. We'll probably have them on again in the future. There's been Marion from Podcast Maximus. We've been trying to get a couple other ones, but it's been more of a scheduling issue. I mean, we love having anybody on. Our audience is largely male, but we know that we do have a large number of female listeners. I mean, Marion in particular was doing a lot of the transcriptions of like James Roberts interviews, and that's how we got to know her. And then she started doing her own show and, you know, Podcast Maximus is great. So the only thing is we have like a certain chemistry among our hosts and we've been having to have a lot of guests lately and stuff because Yoshi's schedule is horrible, but I don't think we're going to be adding a permanent co-host right now, a male or female. I mean, when you add someone permanently, you have to take a lot of things into account, like what roles that they would have and what that chemistry, like how it affects it. So we wouldn't have a problem adding a female co-host if we were looking to add one. It's just we aren't looking right now. And, you know, as we do get guest hosts, we don't specifically look for guys. We look for any, particularly we look for people that we know have good microphones. That's our biggest concern.
Yep. Hi everyone.
So yeah, so I mean, you'll see other female podcasters on our show in the future. It's just a matter of scheduling and topics, and you know, mm-hmm. particularly at conventions, I'm sure we'll have more. So that's pretty much what I replied.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll read Charles's here, and it's almost word for word actually, but Charles,
he copied.
Yeah. He chimed in and said, lots of female TF fans are active on Twitter and Tumblr. Notable female podcasters are Amy, Lady Rec, has been on Transmissions before, will be on an upcoming IDW Comics hosted Declassified, ran the Underbase TF Comics. We've often had Nicole Donatron and previous Transmissions guests. She has been a frequent guest on the Underbase and Moonbase 2. And Heather is Hahi Prime. Met her at several USTF cons. Marion, who you mentioned, helped us with with transcripts. Is a podcast Maximus TF podcast. And Nell Bailey ran Sound.Wave, TF Comics focused podcast with her friend Greg. Lots of female TF podcasters are apparently big into the IDW comics. So that's Charles's two cents on it. And I'll just kind of wind it up and say that, you know, like Jeremy said, we're not opposed to having female co-hosts, but we are a foursome here that just kind of gelled real quickly at the beginning. And, to change up the dynamic, would be not something we'd want to do on purpose, but more for necessity. So that would be something that would happen if somebody were to want to stop doing the podcast at some point or something like that. We would entertain the idea of having a female co-host, but it wouldn't be something that we would look to adding a fifth co-host. But yeah, it's, I think that if you're looking for an all-female Transformers show, look to the people that are already doing them and see if they will do one together. You know, mm-hmm. ask the ladies that are already have the means to do it, and see if they will get together and do an all-female show, if that's what you're looking to have done. They're very capable women out there, very talented podcasters.
Yeah. I mean, this show wouldn't exist without the Underbase.
Exactly. So, yeah, I know. Amy, I think, has taken a step back from regular podcasting, but she does do guest appearances every now and then. But yeah, it's one of those things that people start podcasts every day. So if you want to have one started, you know, just start one. If you've got a friend who's a lady who wants to get into podcasting, but is you know, afraid of what the fandom might think of a girl podcasting about Transformers, fuck that shit. Who cares? You know, nobody yeah. said that, you know, when we started doing our thing that we were going to be any good, and we didn't have anybody listening to us at the start. And to be perfectly honest, we still don't think we're any good. So
you guys suck.
Yeah.
See?
So just go out and do your thing. And if you want to start making a podcast, make a podcast.
And I would say, if you want to reach out, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, reach out to those of us that are already doing podcasts. We always want to help.
Yeah.
And at least the podcaster side of the community has been so like open and welcoming in my experience. I mean, you know, we rattle off a number of great podcasts, and
exactly.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we always want to help.
Okay. Well, hopefully that was enough information for you. Hopefully we answered some of that question. And if not, ask another one. But that'll do it for our show this week. If you would like to get in touch with us, remember that you can contact us via the website, and you can leave a voicemail now. I know that it's been talked about before, but it's super easy to do. You can use it. You can use your phone to do it. I've done it. Yeah, it's super easy. And then generally, if you want to get on the show and do something like that, that's really easy to put in the show. So just you go to the website and use the little widget there to download it.
We have 100% rate of people leaving us voicemails and us playing on the show.
Exactly. So go ahead and do that if you want to get your question or comment put on the show. And like and follow, blah blah blah. I think Yoshi's going to talk about it when we sign off here. The ending spiel has not yet been written out, Jeremy, so I really don't know what to say. But Jason, why don't you
leave us feedback at transmissionspodcast.com/feedback.
I was going to let Jason do his thing first, but Jason, you want to
that thing? Okay, yeah.
You want to tell us where you're from and you know what you like to do on a rainy Sunday night?
Well, I'm a Libra. I enjoy walks on the beach and wearing sweater vests. Okay. No, right now all I want to say is, first of all, thanks for having me on again. I love coming on the show with you two. Team B, as we alluded to on the main show. Check me out. My newest podcast just started a few weeks ago, so there's still plenty of time to jump on. That is at everlastingminute.com. It's a minute-by-minute look at Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which is a classic movie from the 70s. Kids, ask your parents, although everyone should know this movie. It's a good one. Definitely check it out. And listen to our podcast. You can find it at everlastingminute.com. Episodes come out Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It's been a blast. We're recording more episodes tomorrow, and I think everyone should listen.
Great. We'll give it a shot. See how that works out.
Thank you.
I got a great look.
Yeah, it does. It looks good. Oh, it looks like candy.
David nailed the logo. That's my co-host. He is I when he first showed it to me, I was like, holy shit, dude. Really? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And so if you want to listen to that, just search the iTunes or Apple Podcast feeds for that, and I'm sure you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the rest of it, Jeremy?
If you want to chat with us anytime, transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you want to support us, transmissionspodcast.com/support. And you can support us via Patreon or PayPal. And like you said at the beginning of the show, we have a new declassified we're about to record that will be released at some point before the end of March. And that is a Patreon exclusive show, and they've all been great so far.
Perfect. Couldn't have said it better myself. Anyway, this boat has been significantly crashed. Let's end this thing so we can all go to bed separately.
Word. Oh, really? Damn it. Okay.
Fine. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we will talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Probably not next week, but later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmissions swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Stephen DeKnight says that the Bumble movie. So, Bumble. So, Stephen.
The bumper movie.
Take two.